Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Hour 3. That's right, Hour 3 of Roach Valley Radio. My name's Tim Moore, and this is the Community Corner Show. I've now been joined by Amina, Kathleen, Jeannie, and Eileen, who are the new 21st century cotton queens. They've all got together and they've written a project all about the Worktown cotton queens. They're members of a women's community project, which was run jointly by Bolton at Home, and they are in the Centre for Worktown Studies from the University of Bolton, with funding from Ambition for Ageing, Culture Champions Greater Manchester. The aim of the project was for women to develop their skills, confidence, and well-being by engaging with cultural and historical aspects of the Bolton area. And one of the big historical aspects of the Bolton area was this Worktown project, which happened. Now, this was sort of new to me, which speaks very ill of the local education system, but I'd never really heard about it. We were having a chat beforehand. Kathleen, I'd like to come to you for this. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about the Worktown project?
Well, yes, Worktown project was a mass observation project, and it started sort of about 1935, wasn't it?
That's right.
And it was people from London came to Bolton to observe perhaps what they might call working class life. And these observers lived together in Bolton. There was quite a lot of them. Sometimes about 200 actually came. And what they did was they observed absolutely the minutiae of everybody's life in Bolton at the time. And for instance, they would go into a pub and they would count how many times the man lifted the beer to his mouth to drink it, how many sups he would take from the beer, how many times he went to the toilet. I mean, tiny little things like this these observers were writing down. And they were supposed to be doing it inobtrusively, of course, but sometimes they were spotted and questioned about what they were actually doing.
Well, I was going to say, one of the great things that you said before to me, Amina, was that they were supposed to be watching them, but there were also people watching the observers as well, weren't there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have stuck out like a sore thumb in some of the pubs of Rochdale. These were young, middle-class men with good intentions and socialist values, and they wanted to improve the lot for the working class. However, there was a quite patronising attitude in some cases, and almost condescending.
There were. And one comment was at the time that people from London, from Cambridge and Oxford, and the other universities were, of a middle class level, mm-hmm. knew more about the indigenous peoples in Africa and the other side of the world than they actually knew about their own working class in their own country.
And which is sort of indicative of the sort of divide between the two classes,
absolutely,
really, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You've got a really good example, haven't you? An actual excerpt from one of the observations.
That's right. This was taken in Blackpool because the mill girls all had the Wakes Week and went to Blackpool. Then they followed them there as well. And this is really where our play is set in Blackpool. And this is one of the observations, an encounter between a mass observer and a Worktown girl. And this is from what the mass observer put down about them. They are friendly with the waiter. They tell the observer that they come here regularly. It's the best cafe in Blackpool. The observer asks them why they like Blackpool. They both say it's because it's free. You can do what you like. And everyone is friendly. The observer then asks them about the sea. They say they like it and often go in swimming. The conversation is suddenly interrupted by the advent of the engine driver and his mate, who laughingly accuse the observer of trying to double-cross them. But they are very friendly, and both girls order another tenpenny for them to pay for. The girls eat with one fork, also using a fork to pick up pieces of bread and butter. The other chap jokes with them about their appetites and UCP tripe. These chaps live in Worktown, but are not Worktown men. Topographical argument about streets ensues. During this, Alice is stroking the observer's thigh, alternatively was squeezing his hand very hard, while the other one at the opposite end of the table is playing footy-footy. Alice asks what time it is. We say, it's 11:15. And she then starts telling dirty stories again. Which shows, you know, perhaps the attitude of the observer towards these mill girls who were just having a good time and having a bit of a laugh. But for him, it was, you know, not quite like that.
I bet they've never seen a piece of tripe before in their lives.
Well, no, exactly. And this is why it was called work time. It was actually an observation of Bolton. But they called it Worktown because Bolton is Worktown. And there's archives of all this stuff all over. There's a lot in Bolton Museum, of course. And the minutiae of everything that was done is available to look up. It's quite absolutely interesting.
Yeah, so as part of the Worktown project, you got together and you began to write this play. Jeannie, can you tell us how did it develop? Did you sit down in a group together and sort of throw ideas around and try and get something that you could hang a plot off? Or did you all separate and come back with an idea and kind of decide which one you thought was the best?
We all kind of did it together, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all researched the work initially. And as Amina said, we're all writers.
Yeah.
We can all recognise a story from 10 miles away. And we had, very fortunately, two wonderful characters already fully formed.
Oh, yeah, Amina. Tell us about, who was it, your grandma?
My Nana.
Your Nana. Sorry, Grandma. Grandma sounds a bit observational, doesn't it?
Yeah. Flo and Alice, the two main characters who meet Charles, who's an observer, are based very much so on my Nana and her best friend, who at the time we set the play would have been in the late teens, early 20s, which is the age we have them in the play.
Right, okay. So they were young girls having fun?
They were young girls having fun.
If I could just read another short extract here. It's a holiday diary of a mill girl
okay. In
Blackpool at the time. Again, it's relevant to our play. And this is her account of what she does. Friday, arrive at Blackpool. Staying at Hull Road. Visit the tower, meet two young men from Sheffield. Went into the bar, had a few drinks and danced. Then we went on the promenade and strolled on the sands. We had supper at the cafe, chips and coffee. Arrived back at the digs 12 o'clock. Saturday morning went for a drive to Fleetwood. Afternoon went to the pleasure beach. Picked up with four young men from Wakefield. Had a good lot of amusement. Enjoyed the Grand National best. Went for a drink to the Huntsman. Evening went to the tower dancing, from there to the gardens and then back to the tower, which we liked the best. Sunday went to the Huntsman in the morning with four Scottish boys, stayed until dinner and then met them afterwards and went to the pleasure beach. Went for a ride in the car to St Anne's with four more boys, arrived back at Diggs with boyfriend at 11:30. Monday strolled on the prom with friends and met the four Scottish boys and went dancing on the pier and drinks in the bar. So they were having fun, they were having a good time because obviously the work in the mill, they hadn't chance to really let their hair down at any other part of the
I don't know about you, but that sounds fun to me now, let alone. Yeah, that sounds like a great couple of days. Right, listen, we're gonna play the play now, which I'm very excited to do. We've never done anything like this before, which is why I really wanted you to come in today. Well, I listened to it last night. I think it's absolutely fantastic. There's some great characters. Just to give you an idea, the voices that you've been listening to talking, Amina, you're Flo, right?
I'm Flo.
You're Flo. Kathleen, you're Bert.
Yes, I think that's right.
Jeannie, you're Alice. And you're Charles. You're Charles. Right, okay. So in that case, I'll fade the mics down and we will now listen to Cotton Queens.
Wakes Girls by 21st Century Cotton Queens.
We little sticker Blackpool rock. Along the promenade I stroll. In my pocket it got stuck, I could tell. Cos when I pulled it out, I pulled my shirt off as well. Every day, wherever I stay, the kids all round me flock. A girl while bathing clung to me, my wits had to use. She said, I'm brave enough to save me, you won't refuse. I said, well, if you're drowning, then I don't want to lose. the little stick of Blackpool Rock.
My darling Claire, I hope you are well and this letter finds you in good spirits. I miss you terribly. Although I must admit, I am enjoying my observation work here in Blackpool. In the pub last night, an old man asked me if I was a spy for the Bosch. I assured him I wasn't, and made the excuse that I worked for the brewery and was making notes as to the fixtures and fittings. "As long as I don't touch my chair," was his disinterested reply. Another amusing incident occurred last evening. "Come in, Mrs. Albert."
"I've noticed you still had your big light on, so I thought I'd bring you a nice hot cup of cocoa."
"You spoil me, Mrs. Albert."
"Oh, go on, you daft apath. It's no more than I'd do for any other guest." "Oh, are you writing again?"
"I am."
"Too much writing can't be good for your eyes. Why don't you go to pictures? Watch a film instead." "Oh, well, I'll leave you to it. I'll collect the cup in the morning. But if you use the facilities before you retire, it won't hurt to give it a rinse. Cocoa sticks, summer chronic. Good night, love."
Now, where was I? Another amusing incident. Ah, yes. The ladies in the pub. That certainly was an encounter to remember.
"Are you lost, love?"
"I beg your pardon?"
"Are you lost? You're not here for weeks, sweet, are you?"
"Oh, no. I'm a businessman, on secondment, studying the brewery trade. Fixtures and fittings, things like that."
"Second what? Oh, never mind. Well, you've picked the right time to come up here if it's peace and quiet you're after. Should get yourself to Bolton, because us lot from Bolton are all up here."
I decided to feign ignorance. "Oh? Why is the whole town of Bolton up here?"
"Well, most of it is. There's a few stayed back like my miserable ugly."
"I don't have a husband."
"Cheers for that, Alice."
"Would you two ladies care to join me at my table?"
"Why? We're not tarts, if that's what you're thinking."
"No, we're not."
"Absolutely not. I just thought you might be more comfortable seated."
"Oh, right. Well, go on then."
"Allow me to introduce myself properly. My name is Charles Carrington."
"Well, I'm Flo Holden, and this is Alice Shuttleworth. Pleased to make your acquaintance."
"Likewise."
"So what brings you both here this good evening?"
"Let's get something clear, love. We don't go in the pubs back home, so we're not slackies, if that's what you're thinking. We're here for a quick drink, then we're off to the Tower."
"The Tower?"
"Not London one. You've probably got relatives in that one. Blackpool Tower. Our cotton queen, Doris Bower, is making an appearance. She's from our mill, ain't she, Alice?"
"Yeah."
"Oh, don't mind her. She entered it and all. And
it
lost.
It was a bloody fix, if you ask me. I went May Queen 3 years running when we were kids. She didn't get a look in. How them judges didn't notice her skin is beyond me. But there you go. That's what happens when your dad's in charge at Cardiff."
"Shut up, you daft apis. She won fair and square."
"Are you married, Charles?"
No.
"Got a young lady waiting for you?"
"No." We were joined then by two men, one alarmingly burly and carrying a tray of drinks. He raised his knee and nudged Flo with it.
"Ooh! Hutch up, Flo. Here you are, girls. I got you a drink."
"Oh, you didn't half give me a fright, Bert."
They obviously knew each other well. I was beginning to wonder if Flo's husband had arrived to surprise her.
"This is Charles, you two. Charles, this is Bert and Ernie. Bert's a train driver, friend of my Bob's. What do you do, Ernie?"
"I'll show Alice what I do when we get under the pier. She can tell you after."
"I bloody won't, because I'm not going under the sands with thee, cheeky sod."
The four of them laughed in unison. Alice was very close to me due to the hutching up.
"You're all wind and water, you are, Ernie. Pain of mind to them, Charles. Common as muck they are."
I became aware that Alice, who had finished the drink I purchased for her, was halfway through the one bought by the men. She was also playing footsie with my right foot. Ernie, obviously mistaking my left foot for Alice's, was doing the same.
"I love George Formby. Do you like him, Charles, love?"
I was at a loss to know who George was, However, it became apparent he was the singer of risque songs.
I've got a big stick of Blackpool rock. Ask Alice.
You two had better watch yourselves or my Bob will be having words when we get home. Pay no mind to them, love. They're just being daft. He's lovely as George. I've seen all his films. Not as lovely as my Bob, though.
I was amused by Flo's ability to speak romantically of her absent husband. Meanwhile, Alice, due to the hutching, was now thigh to thigh with me. I thought her hand on my leg was an accident, but found it very quickly necessary to ask my companion if they'd like a drink, giving me the opportunity to stand quickly.
Same again, sir.
Yes, please. And 2 pints of bitter as well.
You sit yourself down. One at Barmaid's will bring them over for you.
No need for that. I'll wait here.
Scary lot when they've had a drink of three, aren't they? That little one's a proper rumbugger. She had some poor lad in tears last night.
Darling, I was going to leave. But I was here to observe the working classes, and where better to do that than the pub. Upon my return, decisions had been made.
Oh, cheers for the drink, love. Eh, we've decided not to go to the tower tonight.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we won't have to go 3 doors up from my house if we want to eat that ugly cow who thinks because she's cotton queen that she's it.
Alice, mind your manners. I think she's getting a bit tipsy, Charles. Anyhow, that's what we've decided. We're going to see the night out in here, then we'll go to Chippy and you're coming with us. No argument.
I'm not really a chippy person. But thank you, Flo, you're very kind.
No trouble. Come anyway. Right, have we all drunk up? Are we ready? Off we go.
Best chippy in Blackpool, this one. She comes from Bolton and all. She met him on her holidays.
Oh, aye.
Yeah. Don't you remember? Used to be in winding room. Worked with a man. Till she got wed to him anyway.
Oh, yeah, I remember her. Any role, what are we all having?
I've had such an enjoyable evening with you all. Do allow me to pay for the food.
Listen, mate. You don't have to be posh to have a bob or two. It's holidays and I'm flush. And I'm buying the lasses the supper and that's it. I'll buy yours and all if you like. What are you having then?
That's very kind of you, Ernie. But no, thank you. As I said, I'm not a chippy person.
Suit yourself, Cocker. Now, what are you girls having? What about you, Alice?
What about me? What about you? Look at you, wobbling all over the place. You're a bloody embarrassment, you are, and you can shove your fish and chips and I don't want nout from you.
Oh, Alice, don't be like that.
Well, go on then. But only because my man wouldn't want me to waste food. I'll have a haddock and a tuppence worth of chips. And don't be jumping to confusions. It don't mean we're courting.
Have some chips, Charlie. Go on, there's now on you.
Very well. Thank you, Ernie. Just a tuppence worth, please.
Oi, Lily, put us 4 fishing, will you? Add it, please.
Hey, well, if it ain't Ernie and Bert, nice to see you both. You having a good time?
Aye, not bad, Lily, not bad. This is Alice, Flo and Charlie.
How do? Right, what you all having? Hey, why don't you pop in tomorrow? It'll be quieter then and you can tell me how you're all doing.
Aye, all right. What's the damage then, Lily?
4 bob to you. There you go. See you all tomorrow then. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra. See you tomorrow.
Oh, that Ernie is like Helen Keller when it comes to Alice. Deaf, dumb and blind to the word no.
He's obviously very fond of her.
He's not even a bad lad. He earns good money. He'll drive his own train one day. But that's not good enough for little Lord Fauntleroy's sister here. Hey, have you seen that film? I wanted to slap that kid at first.
No, but I have read the book many moons ago.
Oh, have they done a book of it? The only thing I read is lips when I'm at work. Anyway, it's films I blame for her being fussy. She wants someone who talks like Leslie Howard and looks like Clark Gable.
Goodness me.
Where the bloody hell she thinks she's going to meet him is beyond me. He's not just going to pop out of a doorway, is there? And there's no bugger in the mill that fits the bill.
No, probably not.
I mean, apart from coming here, the furthest she's been to is Wigan for a funeral, and that took it out of her. She was fit for nout for almost a week. I suppose she thinks a dream man's waiting here for her in Blackpool. Oh, I love that music. Variety show on Wireless Wednesdays, just before bed. It comes from Blackpool sometimes. Marvellous, isn't it? We're sat in Bolton listening to what's going on in Blackpool as clear as we can hear it now.
Flo, would you ever consider anywhere else for your holiday?
The lot of us are just me.
You and your family?
Oh, I don't have a family yet. It's just me and our Bob. And he won't set a foot out of Bolton. He's a good few years older than me. Went abroad during the war and that's his lot, he says.
Well, you and Alice then?
Like where?
Anywhere, London maybe.
What do you want to go there for? The water tastes funny, everybody says so. Hey, you know, I got a chip of tea once wrapped in a London newspaper. The price they charge for eggs, they want locking up. And correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm not, but last I heard there was no seaside in the capital of our country. It's not an holiday with no seaside, is it?
Some people think so.
Are you laughing at me?
No, absolutely not. I'm smiling because I've never met anyone like you. I find your candour refreshing.
Come again?
I like your outlook on life.
Me what?
The way you see things.
Oh, hang on once I put my paper in the bin. Hey, from far off, you look a bit like Clark Gable and you definitely sound like Leslie Howard.
They both linked arms with me. Alfie and Harriet happily walking ahead, shouting out dubious things to the many courting couples we passed.
Doesn't sea sound lovely at night, but isn't it scary when you look out across the water? It's all nice and bright up here, but look out there, nought but blackness. It's a different matter during the day with all the people and the donkeys and the ice cream man. Just think, Flo, me and you were in that sea today.
Only up to our ankles, you daft sod. I wouldn't swim in it. I'm not having the whole of my street seam in a swimming costume, even if I had one. And you don't need to list everything on the beach. I'm sure Charles has seen what it looks like for himself.
Indeed, I have rooms that overlook the sea.
Ooh, I have rooms that overlook the sea. Aren't you the lucky one? We're about five streets back, close enough for seagull shit to splatter the window, but no sea view. Oh, my God.
What's up?
Have you got your watch on?
Of course I have. Oh, my God.
Ladies, is there anything wrong?
There will be if we're not back at our lodgings in 2 minutes flat. Alice, shoes off. Tuck your dressing if you keks if you have to. We're going to have to run like the clappers.
They both linked arms with me. The young men happily walking ahead, shouting out dubious things to the many courting couples we passed.
Oh, bugger, the door's locked.
Shall I knock?
And have the world and his wife listening to her big gob telling us we can't come in, no thanks.
What are we going to do, Flo?
How should I bloody know? It's not something we've ever had happen. We're just going to have to wait till she opens up in the morning.
That's hours away.
You missed your bloody calling, love. You should have been Sherlock Holmes with those powers of deduction.
There's no need for sarcasm.
And there's no need for pointing out the bloody obvious.
Now, now, girls, there's no need to fight. But if you want, I'll hold your handbags. It looks good.
Have you any sensible suggestions, Ernie? Because don't forget, you're locked out too.
Well, our rooms are at the back. We could try shinning up the drainpipe.
I'm not climbing up any drainpipes in my best dress.
You better take it off then, because that drainpipe is looking like Hobson's choice. Unless...
Unless what? I'm not taking my dress off.
You won't have to, love. What's that down there on the floor?
By the little window.
Oh, for God's sake, I meant the actual window.
Oh, I see. That could be the solution, Flo.
Why are you lads taking your coats off?
We're going to enter the premises via that door.
Look at that window and then look at them clodhoppers you all call feet. Tell me what part of your body is going to get through that teeny window. I expect that sort of nonsense from Laurel and Hardy here, but you, Charles, should know better.
Well, what are you going to do then if you're so clever?
I'm almost offended. The only person who can get through that window is Short Arse here. Who are you looking round for, you daft sod? I mean you, Alice.
And sod off. You know I hate cellars.
Look, all you have to do is get through that window and nip across to the door. There's bound to be one. There won't be anyone about this at this time of night. All you have to do then is unbolt the door and let us in.
Oh, is that all I have to do?
We haven't got a choice, have we? Besides, you're always going on about your tiny waist. Jesus might have given you that waist for this very reason. It might be blasphemy not to use your gift.
Give over, Flo. Right, I'm going to do it, but not because of that rubbish you've just come out with. Bloody blasphemer. You only go to church at Whitson. Someone remind me not to stand next to her next time it's lightning. I'll do it, but only because I'm fed up and I want my bed.
Right then, so which end are we holding?
Come again.
Are you going in head or feet first? Whichever you choose, we'll hang on to the other.
We?
Me and the lads.
Why can't it just be you? If I go in head first, they'll all see me doing...
I said you were little, love. I never said out about lie. Oh, go on, then. Lads, stand guard and turn your backs if you don't mind. Have you not found the floor yet? My hands are going numb. You've got thick ankles, you have. The blood's left my hands completely now. Hurry up.
It's pitch bloody black down here, and the floor feels lumpy.
What do you mean, lumpy? Feel around some more.
Oh, we are. It's flat here.
Thank God for that, because there's no feeling right up to my elbows now. Oh, I'm letting go. My hands are sliding. Alice, you're going.
Give me a chance to... Oh, you bloody cow.
Never mind that now. Find the door.
There is no door.
No door? What do you mean? Of course it's a bloody door. What kind of cellar has no door?
It's not a cellar. It's a bloody coal hole.
What kind of coal hole has a window?
This bloody kind. The only way out of here is through the chute. I'd wait, they're dead doing that.
You've done that already. All the bloody lights have gone on. Hurry up and get out of there. Give me your hand quick. Lads, lads, I need your help.
Never again, Flo. Never a bloody again. What are you all garping at?
I'll tell you later. We better get out of here sharpish.
Oh, hellfire. Look, here come the bloody coppers.
Grab hold of me hand, Alice. Come on, run.
They set off at a terrible rate, darling. Henny and Flo following, and it was with some confusion that I followed. I must say, despite the anarchy of the situation, I found myself rather amused.
These noises you heard...
Oh, like no noises I've heard before, officer. Coming from cellar of all places. Oh, it were proper spooky. Weren't it, Mabel?
Frightened me out of my wits. An ungodly sound, if you ask me, and very... Foreign-sounding.
Foreign-sounding?
Oh, it's funny you should say that. When it all started, the family was stopping in the attic, looked out of the window and saw a gang running off. One of them was very dark. Oh, it could be somebody foreign.
It could be one of them sideshow men. A lot of them are foreign.
Not the pygmy. African pygmy acrobats, though. It won't be one of them. I know a lass who's courting one of them. They're a lovely bunch of lads. Honest as the day's long. Not very tall, though.
All right, all right. Let's not go all round the houses. Put kettle on, missus. We'll have a brew while I do your statement. It wouldn't go amiss if you had a spare piece of cake as well.
Ha! I might have known. I've never heard a copper doing summat for nowt.
I'm dead when my mum sees the state of my dress.
It's only a bit of soot.
A bit?
A lot then, but look at it this way. At least we didn't get caught. Mud sticks.
So does bloody soot.
Oh, it's not all bad. You still have your film style looks.
Oh, which one? My mum says I favour Pretty Grable more and more each day.
I was thinking more Al Jolson myself. Right, come with me and we'll get you cleaned up at that water fountain. I'll help you clean your dress in the morning. Who'd have thought it? A coal hole with windows.
Flo did an admirable job of cleaning Alice to a grey pallor. Our collective efforts turned to the pressing matter of where to spend the night.
Now that all the kerfuffle's probably died down, we could always go back to plan A. Now how about me and Bert knit back, shin up the drain pipe and take the door off?
Don't be silly, we'll just have to wait it out. Good job it's summer. We just need somewhere to have a sit down or we'll be fit for now tomorrow. Right, Charlie, lad, we'll have to love you and leave you.
I couldn't possibly leave you in all such circumstances. Come back with me to my place. I'm sure I can get you rooms for the night.
Oh, how kind.
How bloody daft. We've got no nighties and how's it going to look? Thank you kindly, Charles, but we're staying put so we can get back in our digs as soon as she opens up. Come on, Alice, we'll head back to the prom and sit under them sheltered seats. Bert, what are you two going to do?
We won't be leaving you two on your tods. Your bob would have our guts for garters.
Wipe the smirk off your face, Ernie. Alice will be glued to me hip.
And even if I wasn't, you'd have no chance. How many times have I told you I meant for bigger and better things?
I felt Alice's eyes boring into me as she chastised the poor man.
Charles, love, best you get off now.
I wouldn't sleep a wink knowing your predicament.
Oh, you don't have to do that, love. We've got the lads with us.
He can do what he wants.
Oh, I can't be mithered with it all. If he wants to stay, he can do.
The journey back towards the promenade was less frantic. But when we arrived, it appeared that we were not the only ones who had been locked out.
Bloody hell, it's like the train station down...
Ladies, avert your eyes.
Too bloody late, love. Ew, it's put me off my breakfast as that. They want locking up.
What's he doing to her?
Waiting for tide to come in.
Nice pair of legs, though. Ow! No need for that, Flo.
I promised Alice's mum I'd look after her. There's things she don't need to know yet, so shut it.
Things like what?
Never you mind. Come on, let's find somewhere quiet to get a bit of shut eye if we can. Look, an empty shelter, and it's nice and quiet. Come on, let's get comfy. It's only a few more hours till we can get back in. Oi, madam, get your feet down. There's no room.
You can put those lovely legs on my lap if you want.
And you can put your bloody head in a loom going at full whack.
Don't be like that, Alice.
Soon, time and the effects of the alcohol caught up with them. With the men's jackets across their shoulders and my top coat shared between their knees, the girls spoke less and less.
I'll sleep for England tomorrow night, me. What time is it now, Charles?
2 o'clock.
Oh, not too long to go. They unlock the doors around 5-ish. You don't have to stay, love. Go on, get yourself back to your hotel.
I'll go back to my lodgings when you are safely back in your lodgings.
Oh, well, if you insist. Hey, give us a nudge at 5 if we sleep through the chalk climbs. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm absolutely shattered.
I wonder what my mum would say if she knew that I was out at this time of night.
It'd be something you'd never hear from the mouth of a vicar. And don't be telling her.
Well, yeah, because, like, I want to live to see 21.
Charles? Charlie? You asleep, love?
Oh, no. Just resting my eyes. Something wrong?
I'm really cold, Charles, love.
Early mornings are always rather fresh, aren't they?
Suppose so. Charlie, do you really like Alice?
Of course. Yes, of course I do. She's very nice.
Do you like me, Charles?
Yes, of course I do. You're very attractive.
Oh, do you think so? Bob, my husband, he's a great bloke. Older than me, though, and quiet-like.
Oh, yeah?
And he can get a bit funny sometimes.
How's he funny?
Well, it was the war. He were only 15 when he went. They shouldn't have took him, really, but, you know... And he goes off his head sometimes. It's not his fault, though.
I'm sorry. It must be difficult for you.
It is. I just get fed up as well sometimes, because he don't like going out and all that. Not like me. Oh, I'm bloody cold, Charles. Are you cold as well?
Flo,
They're asleep, Charles. It's fine. They're asleep. Trust me.
I'm engaged, Flo.
I'm cold, that's all. I don't want to marry you. These three are just kids, Charlie. They'll sleep through anything. Come on, let's snuggle up. We can both be warm then.
Oh, Flo.
Alice.
I'm awake.
Alice!
Oh, for God's sake, I'm awake. And you've ruined my dream. I was Ruby Keeler.
You'll be bloody Anne Boleyn if we don't get back in our lodgings before some of them witches wake up.
What's she famous for?
Being dead. Now shift yourself. Oh, look at the lads all snoring away. Seems a shame to wake him.
Well, it weren't a shame to wake me, though. Oh, don't Charles look handsome sleeping? My dad always has his mouth open when he's asleep.
And his teeth out.
Ew, don't remind me. He'll never get old.
Good luck with that, Chuck.
Do you think I'll ever see him again?
Of course you will. We go home on Friday.
Not me dad, Charles.
Well, it's not like we mix in the same circles, is it? Oh, put your face straight. If it's meant to be, it'll happen.
Like kismet?
Yeah, love, like kismet.
I rubbed the sleep from my eyes and stood up, embarrassed. I hadn't been watching over the girls as I'd promised, but also because of what had happened between Flo and I. However, her warm smile and sly wink reassured me our secret was safe. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, love.
Good morning, Charles.
We're going to have to get back to our lodgings.
I'll walk with you.
Best you don't, love. We're not even going to turn up with them two. People talk, you know how it is.
I certainly do.
So we'll say our goodbyes now. We had a lovely time last night and we won't ever forget you, will we, Alice?
No.
Nor are you, you fine people. In that case, I'll bid you the fondest of farewells. I exchanged hearty handshakes with the lads and kissed the ladies' hands.
Ooh, I've never been kissed on the hand before.
She's never been kissed at all.
I turned and walked away through the early morning mist. Just before I went out of sight, Alice called out to me.
Where do you live when you're not here?
I have lodgings in Halliwell.
Halliwell in Bolton?
Yes. Maybe we'll meet again one day. Bye.
Did you hear that, Flo? Bloody Halliwell. You know what this is, don't you?
Yeah, a bit of a dump.
No, it's Kismet.
Oh, shut up, you daft sod.
I hope we see him again. I could tell he liked me. He did like me, didn't he, Flo?
Yeah, well, of course he did. It's a funny to-do, though, a person of his station, not that he's any better than us, being here for Wakes Week, and now we find out he's got lodgings in Bolton. And he's a nosy sod, don't you think?
I didn't notice anything. Hey, if we bump into him again, you could invite him for yours for tea.
I don't bloody think so.
Yes, my dearest Claire, a most amusing evening indeed. I met two young ladies and their men friends, all for the epitome of working class life and marvellous subjects for the study. I learned many things, which I won't bore you with in this letter, but give my fondest regards to your parents. The next couple of months will be gone before we know it, and then I'll be home for good, my darling. Love always, Charles. And you, dear Flo, I'll certainly never forget you.
You have been listening to Worktown Wakes Girls, created by the 21st Century Cotton Queens. This play is based upon archive material from Mass Observations' Worktown collection, held at Bolton Library Museum Services, The Keep, University of Sussex, and online at Adam Matthew Digital. Worktown Wakes Girls was produced and directed by Breege Andrews from the University of Bolton. The creative writing lead was Eileen Earnshaw. Post-production was by Tony Sabanskis, and recording by Mark Robinson from the Media Department at the University of Bolton. The Cotton Queens are members of a collaborative project led by Catherine Thomason, University of Bolton, Sandra Nicol, University Central Blackburn College, and Gaynor Cox, Percent for Art, Bolton at Home. The project is funded by Ambition for Ageing Culture Champions Greater Manchester. We would like to thank Paul Salverson for the use of the community room facilities at Platform 5, Bolton Railway Station, and also Professor Bob Snape, Director of the Centre for Worktown Studies, for his ongoing support. The play was recorded and edited at the University of Bolton.
Hang on before you go, because I don't know about you, but I was raised to give credit where credit's due, so some thank yous are in order. Charles Carrington, the narrator and secret observer, was played by Eileen. Nice fella, but what a nosy so-and-so. Best friends Flo and Alice were played by best friends Amina and Jeannie, the Davis and Crawford of the North. Sandra played Mrs. Albert, a good cook of plain fare and the owner of a very respectable Blackpool B&B. Sandra also played Gladys, a rather distressed landlady. She's always been at the front of the queue for seconds, as are Sandra. Bert and Ernie were played by Bernie and Kathleen. And it's now new women playing men. Panto's been doing it for years. The barman was played by Michelle, who brought her own vodka for realism, or so she said. Mabel, a neighbour to Gladys, was played by Verona, who previously played the balcony in Romeo and Juliet. The police officer was played by Barbara, who now thinks she's Sherlock Holmes. Also starring the 21st Century Cotton Queens Chorus, whose lead singers were our Brenda's and Nora.
There you go! Round of applause, everybody! That was your debut.
It was.
In all its glory. Well done. How do you feel now this is out there in the world?
I'm absolutely chuffed to little apples.
I'm chuffed to little apples.
Get
that put on a t-shirt.
A bit. Because it's just been such a flipping long drag. getting it here. And I don't know why everybody in the world doesn't want to listen to our play.
I could not agree more. Listen, there's the three of you here, but there are also people who worked on that play who haven't made it. Do you want to give some other people a shout out?
I can't remember everybody's name because
Verona.
There's lots and lots of names. There's Verona,
Nora, Brenda,
and Sandra.
Bernie, the two Brendas, the Sandras.
Yeah, lots and lots of people, and they were
Michelle.
All there. Michelle, yeah,
Barbara,
and, yeah, and they were all Michelle. Absolutely, totally so supportive, and so giving of all their time.
Oh,
every Saturday morning,
And that is really
something. Like clockwork. Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is.
It was wonderful.
I mean, it goes to show how scared people are of you, Eileen.
Especially half the time we were down. All the meetings were in the station platform 4.
Yeah.
5.
Platform 5,
five.
Is platform it? Five, at Bolton, yes. Station. And we sort of shifted between freezing to death and boiling. Yeah. depending upon how things were that particular day, but there were always plenty of coffee.
Well, that's what you need. Listen, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Are we going to see them again? Are they coming back?
Oh, absolutely.
Starting another project, starting on the 12th of February again for I don't know, 16 weeks, something like that. Maybe not as long as that. It's not decided. So obviously we'll choose another subject. And
just one little thing that I do know, we're going to write some of what we're going to write about is the monkey walk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yes,
and
the
we were
walk.
Really very so we're not quite pleased about that.
We'll have to listen to find out what the monkey walk
so you
is.
Have to, yeah, you have to have us back again. Tell you what the monkey walk is.
Watch yeah, we absolutely will. Absolutely. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in. Thank you so much. What I'd really like to do is we've had a great conversation off air while the play was going on about the background and everything like that. And I'd really, really like to have you back in at some point and we can continue this discussion. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about you and the Cotton Queens as well.
We'd love to.
We fantastic. Would. I promise you'll be slightly more organised next time. But thank you. Thank you. Honestly, thank you. Amina, Kathleen, Gina and Eileen,
thank
it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, ladies. All right, everybody, that's it from Community Corner for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to listen again to any of the guests who were on today, so we had Rochdale Mind in, we had Andy in from Rochdale Mind, and then we had Lisa and Alison in from Bury Hospice and finished off with the Cotton Queens. They will be on the Roche Valley Radio website very shortly in a clipped-up format so you can listen to the interviews again. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with Councillor Richard Gold and also the Creative Living Centre. I'll see you then. Bye, everybody.